Ephesians 2. Now I'm going to entitle this message, Dead in Sin, What Does It Mean? Dead in Sin, What Does It Mean? And I've got an outline dealing with five words that I found in these first six verses. The first word is in verse 1, dead. The second word is found in verse 1, you. The third word is found in verse 4, God. The fourth word is found in verse 5, quickened. And the fifth word is used two or three times in these verses, together. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you say. Raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places. Somebody said one time, a good start is half the race. Well, in matters with which we're dealing tonight, a good start is all the race. Because you either have light or you don't. And if you have light, you understand. You either have Christ or you don't. And if you have Christ, you have everything. You either understand what it means to be dead, what it means to be quickened, what it means to be together with Christ, what it means to know God. You see, when the Lord God quickens a person by His Word and gives them an understanding of the gospel and a love for Christ, they live. They can die right then and go straight to glory. And if they live 50 years, they won't have any more inheritance than they have if they died right then. They won't be any more in Christ, any more saved, any more justified if you live 75 years in the faith than the thief on the cross who died 6 hours after God saved him. So a right start. I learned the gospel in 1950, and I'm preaching the same message I preach today that I preached 51 years ago. I've learned more about the gospel. I've learned more about myself. I've learned more about Christ. I've learned more about His Word. But I knew Him then. That's right. Isn't that right? So it's the whole race. So if you don't get right here, what we're dealing with this evening, you're not even in the race. So let's look at verse 1 now. And you hath he quickened who were dead. Now, dead is a strong word. And to most folks, it's offensive. When you talk about the sinner, the person who does not believe in Christ being dead, it offends a lot of people. But you see, we didn't coin that word. We didn't invent that word. We didn't even choose that word. Almighty God gave that word to the Apostle Paul. The Spirit of God said, you write, and you hath he quickened who were dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. The Lord Himself gave us that word. And He uses it frequently. Look over in verse 5 of the same chapter. Even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. That's twice in 5 verses He said we were dead. We were dead. Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 13. He says in Colossians 2, verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with Christ, having forgiven you of all your trespasses, but you were dead. I was dead. I was in the church. I was in the pulpit, unfortunately. I was in a preacher's school, dead. Romans 5, don't turn to it, I'll quote this for you, you're familiar with it. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin. So death, spiritual death, passed upon all men. Now, spiritual death is an extreme and terrible condition. It means to be, what you just read, without Christ. If you're without Christ, you're without life, because he's the giver of life. It means to be without the Holy Spirit. If you're without the Holy Spirit, you're without life, because he's the Spirit of life. And if you're without God in this world, you're without life, because he's the Father of life. So when we say that sinners are dead, even though it's offensive, and it is offensive, people don't mind you saying that they're sinners. They don't even mind you saying that they're thoughtless or careless or ignorant. But don't tell me I'm dead to God in trespasses and sins. We have a lot of words by which we describe unbelievers. We have a lot of words. They're misdirected. That's what I read recently. They're deceived. They're busy, and they just don't take the time to inquire. They're young and inexperienced. They're sincere, but they're ignorant of the truth. Well, they have bad health, and they're just not paying attention. They're poor. They came up mistreated and abused. We have all these words to describe them, and God uses one. They're dead. That's what, they're dead. They're dead. But you know, think of it now. I thought about this today. When a person's heart is cold and stony, he's dead. When a person's mind doesn't think, he's brain dead. That's what they say down at the hospital. When a person can't see, can't hear, can't speak, can't walk, whose voice is never lifted in prayer or praise or spiritual words, he has ever evidence that one thing's missing, life. He's dead. The word is dead. You have to quicken who were dead. Doesn't matter what age. Doesn't matter what age. When our Lord was here on the earth, he raised three people from the dead. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, just a moment. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, Matthew 11, verse 2. It says in Matthew 11, verse 2, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, John the Baptist, he sent two of his disciples and said unto Jesus Christ, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus our Lord answered. Now listen, this is so important. Our Lord answered and said unto these two disciples, you go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. Now, you know all of our Lord's miracles have a spiritual application. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, a voice to the dumb, the power to walk to the lame, and he raised the dead. Now, he didn't just do those things to show he can heal. He did those things to show that this is a spiritual redemption. That's right. You see what he's saying? He said, you go show John the blind see. The blind what? Spiritually blind. See. The lame walk. The lepers. Lepers are diseased people. They're cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Every one of those adjectives describe you and me when we were without Christ. We were blind. We were lame. We were walking, running around, but we weren't walking with God. We weren't walking even in the direction God's going. We were lepers, unclean. We were deaf. People preached, but we didn't hear it. We were dead. And we were poor. And he came to preach the gospel to the poor, to give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and life to the dead. And he illustrated it when he raised three people from the dead. The first one was a 12-year-old girl, Jairus, the Roman centurion, or the centurion, whoever he was. He had a little girl, 12 years old, at home. He didn't know she was dead. He told the master she's at the point of death. She was already dead. He wanted the master to come, and the master came to the house. And he said to the people there, he said, the damsel is not dead. She sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. They knew she was dead. He went in there where she was lying on the bed. She just died just shortly. She didn't look dead. Looked like she was asleep, lying there on the bed, 12 years old. Bloom still in her cheeks, you know, just closed her eyes in death. But she was dead. And our children, they're so charming, and they don't look dead, do they? 6, 7, 8 years old, 9 years old, they don't look dead to me. But they are. They're dead. And trespasses and sin, just like that girl. And our Lord spoke to her, and she arose. He said, give her some meat. Peter gave her life. Well, then on another occasion over in Luke 7, our Lord was walking into a city, and a funeral procession met him. And this was a young man, the only son, the only support of a widowed mother, and the mother was distraught. Her son was dead, but they knew he was dead. They'd given up all hope. They put him in a coffin, and it would take him out to bury him. He was quite dead, obviously. Probably 24, 25 years old. It's pretty obvious they're dead, isn't it? Pretty obvious. Already in the coffin, already in the ways of the world, the habits of the world, the things of the world, encaged and enslaved and in bondage to everything. And our Lord walked up and touched the coffin, and he sat up. Took him by the hand and returned him to his mother. Well, that's what he did for me when I was 24 years old. Same age as that boy. But I was dead in trespasses and sin. He touched me. And I live. Some of you. But there was another one. He was an older man. His name was Lazarus, and he'd been dead so long he stunk. That's right. He'd been dead so long and in the ground. In the ground. And when the Lord wanted the stone moved, his sister objected very strongly to it. Please, Lord, don't move the stone. Let's don't look at him like he really is. But our Lord Jesus Christ stood, and with a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, come forward. And he came forward, but he was all wrapped up in a lot of things he needed to get rid of. All that linen stuff was wrapped around, but he came walking out of that place like you did one day. came walking out. An old dead sinner, been dead a long time, been a rebel, no good. But my Lord, it's no more difficult for him. It takes the same power, the same word, the same spirit to give life to a 12-year-old or a 24-year-old or a 50-year-old rotten sinner that stinks. But that's what he does. You, you, and you. That's my next word. But you had the quickened who were, let's don't lose sight of this fact, you were dead. You didn't help God do it. You didn't choose for God to do it. You didn't even ask him to do it. You didn't know he's going to do it. But he gave you life. By himself, of himself, the cause found in himself, and the praise and glory to himself. That's the way God saves sinners now. And I don't know a place around here you can hear that, but you can hear it here because it's so. It's so. They're dead. All right, let's look at the word you. And you. We're talking about you now. Don't get personal, preacher. That's the way gospel is. It's personal. You. The Apostle Paul paints a dark picture of you and me in our sinful state, but no darker than should be painted. You see, the Bible describes my Lord as altogether lovely. Song of Solomon. Altogether lovely. And it describes us as altogether vanity. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Scripture says in Isaiah 64, we are all as an unclean thing. That's harsh, isn't it? We are all as an unclean thing. We all do fade as a leaf. Even our good deeds and righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away, like the chaff before the wind. And your iniquities, he said, have separated you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear you. Now that's it. And this is what he says about us here. Now look at verse 2. Said we first in verse 1 said you're dead in trespasses and sin. Preacher, what's a trespass? You hunters know what it is. You got your shotgun over your shoulder and all your shells, and you're getting ready to go hunt. You walk up on a sign and say, no trespassing. And you turn and walk away because that's forbidden territory. Well, that's what we are. We're trespassers. God has forbidden territory. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Well, we don't pay attention to those signs. We go right on. We're trespassers. That's what that means. You're trespassing. Unholy land. God says, stay out. We go in anyway. And then in verse 2, it says, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world. Not God's way. Your ways are not my ways, he said. Your ways are the ways of the world. According to the custom of the world. According to the manners of the world. According to the ways of the world. That's the way we walked. In fact, he says, according to the devil. In times past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was our way. That's the way we walked. That was our course. That was our steps. And verse 3, among whom also we all of us now, not some of us, all of us had our conversation. What's that word right above there? Behavior. Behavior. Your conversation is your behavior. And we had our behavior governed and controlled by the lust of our flesh. We did what our flesh wants to do. That's what we did. Our conversation in times past was according to the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our sensual nature. obeying the impulses of our evil minds. Doesn't that describe us? Go back over your past life before you met the Lord. Our behavior governed by the lust of the flesh, the desires of our sinful, sensual nature, obeying the impulses of an evil mind. And watch this now. And we're by nature children of wrath. That means God's wrath was upon us? Well, that's the second part. But it means our wrath was against Him. We were wrathful children. The natural mind is enmity against God. We liked everything but God. We liked everything in this world but the right way, the truthful way, the Christ way. We hated God. And this says, look at this last three words, even as others. Now this is where we all have trouble right here, even as others. That old Pharisee came into the temple and he said, Lord, I thank you. I'm not as other men are. I'm not as others. I'm not as others. But we were. He is too, but he doesn't know it. We're even as others. Just pick out anything or anybody or anything that's going on. And you and I are capable, were at that time, I don't believe now, I believe the Lord put a hedge about us. I believe the Lord put a new nature in us. I believe the Lord gave us new direction. But we were capable of, you name it. I like what old Richard Baxter said when he saw the drunk lying in the gutter. He said, there but by the grace of God lies Richard Baxter. And you can point to anybody in this world and say the same thing. There, but for the grace of God, am I. That's the only thing that keeps us out of the hog pen is the grace of God. Because we're hogs by nature. That's right. But we're made sheep now. And He hedges us about. Well, here's my third word. Dead, you were, verse 4, but God. That makes all the difference in the world. But God. What a contrast. We were dead, but God lives. We were poor, but God is rich. We were rebels, but God is rich in mercy. We were lost, but God loved us. But God. Paul said in Romans 5, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I don't despair of any person because of who they are or what they've done or what they're doing. If God sets His affection and love upon a person, He'll save him. That's right. He'll save him. Tells us what we were here. But God. That makes all the difference. But God, who's rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, quickened us together with Christ. Almighty God demonstrated the power of His love when He called a Jewish Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus. I don't suppose there was a man in Jerusalem that hated Jesus Christ like Saul of Tarsus. You've got to hate somebody when you kill their family to do away with the name. He did everything he could against the name of Jesus Christ. Wasn't that what he said? I thought to do anything against that name. And Almighty God arrested him, called him, saved him, and made the most humble preacher out of her that ever lived. He said, who's weak that I'm not weak? I'm the chief of sinners. Almighty God called a Roman Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther, born almost 600 years ago. It has been 600, 700 years ago. This man was trained in idolatry. He was schooled in superstition and false teaching, steeped in it, imprisoned in it, and Almighty God saved him and made him the reformer of the world. That man has had more influence in the area of justification by faith than any other preacher. That's exactly right. Translated the Bible from Hebrew and Greek into German in 8 months' time. God made him a literal captain and chief and champion of justification by faith, the very opposite of what he was. The very opposite of what he believed. Justification by works, by faith. There was a poor English tinker. You know what a tinker is? A tinker is a mender of pots and pans. That's what a tinker is. A mender of pots and pans. A man with no learning, no money, no influence, noted for his profanity. Saved him and used him to write the greatest religious classic, loved by more people than any other single book, John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. Put him in jail 12 years while he wrote it. They imprisoned him for his gospel and put him in jail 12 years, and God kept him there. He wrote that book. God called an English sailor a slave trader. The African-American people today talk about their relatives that were captured in Africa and put in chains and brought to other countries. John Newton did that. That was his job. That was his work. Slave trader. Drenched in blasphemy, whiskey, worldliness, and made him one of the world's most gifted, greatest hymn writers and preachers that this world's ever heard. Out of the depths. Isn't that this book? Out of the depths. Have you read Mark 16, verse 9 through 11? It'd do us good to go read it again. It'd do us good. My Lord is able to save to the guttermost, to the uttermost, those that come to God by him. Listen to this. Mark 16, verse 9. Mark 16, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. That's the first one he appeared to. Our Lord came out of the tomb and appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. Where he found that girl. But that was the one. Isn't that grace? You're talking about grace. Next time you get that idea in your head, who am I? Read that scripture there. Who is she? One of the Lord's chosen. And she went and told them that had been with him, the disciples, as they mourned and wept, and they, when they heard he was alive, and she had seen him, they didn't believe it. You can pick somebody better than that to appear to. Is somebody better than that to send the message? No, that's the best one. That's the best one. The best one to hear preach the truth is one who's been there. The best one to hear brag on Christ is the one who's been there. I'd rather hear a sinner saved by grace preach than an angel any day. What's an angel know about a sinner saved by grace? The fourth word, quicken. Let's read it. Verse 1, you hath he quickened. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. I keep telling you what an interesting thing it is to look up these words in the Hebrew and Greek concordance. The word quicken, quickened and quickeneth. David uses it 14 times in the book of Psalms. Quicken, quickeneth, or quicken. And it means, in the Hebrew, it means to give life. That's what it means. Quicken is to give life. Every time David used it, it meant the same thing, to restore to life. The word quicken, quickeneth, and quicken is used 12 times in the New Testament in the Greek translation. And each time it means to make alive, to give life. So, you hath he made alive. You were dead. If we're not dead in sins, God doesn't have to quicken us. Quicken doesn't mean to make life, to make alive, to give life, to restore to life, if we're not dead. You see, it's how you start. To give life, you've got to start with a carcass. To restore to life, you've got to find somebody that's dead. So my gospel means nothing to anybody who's not dead. That's how serious this is. If a man's not a sinner, not dead in sin, I don't have a blooming thing to say to him. Not a thing. Won't mean anything to him. And that's the word quicken. It's used 14 times in the book of Psalms, 12 times in the New Testament. Every single time it's to restore to life, to make alive, to give life. And this quickening, where we're concerned, has to be considered in three ways now. Has to be considered. We were made alive spiritually. Way back there. We were given life. Way back there. And let me show you a scripture in Romans chapter 4 so you understand where I'm coming from here. In Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, it says in verse 17, as it's written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. I wasn't alive, I wasn't born, but yet in Christ I was quickened. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God declares things that are not as though they are. And if God declares them, they are, whether they are now or not. It's like all things are put under our Lord Jesus Christ, but the Scripture says we'd see not now all things under him. The devil and all his cohorts and all raised a good bit of sand, aren't they? A good bit of dust. But they're under his control. They're under his feet. God said so. And we were chosen in Christ. Let me read you that now in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. When did Christ obey the law? When did you pray thanking him for his righteousness and his blood? That was 2,000 years ago. Well, I was with him then. I was in him together. We were quickened together with Christ. Verse 6, when was Christ raised from the dead? 2,000 years ago, and we were raised up together. When was Christ seated at the right hand of God? A long time ago, and we were seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So really, if you want to consider justification, you've got to consider it fourfold. When God gave me to Christ and gave you to Christ before the foundation of the world, Christ was the Lamb slain and we were justified. When Christ came down and died on that cross and bore our sins in his body on the tree, he was made sin for us and we were right then made the righteousness of God in him. When he called me, by his gospel, 1950, I was quickened. You who were dead, hath he quickened, you see? Justified. But you know something? I've still got to go through an experience called death. And one day, he's going to raise my vile body and make it like his. Let me show you that. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Listen to this. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, when did He dwell in you? When He quickened you. When He quickened you. Any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. That's when He quickened you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That's not done yet, but it will be. Because God declares things that are not yet done as though they were. That's right. So that's the quickening. You who were dead, back yonder before the world began, gave you to Christ, your name in the book of life, in the covenant of grace. Christ stood as your surety. When Adam fell, darkness and sin and death came on the whole human race. We were in Christ. He stood as our righteousness then. And then when He came to this earth, died on that cross, justified in Him. Then one day, He sent the gospel our way, like He did Saul of Tarsus, like He did John Bunyan, like He did John Newton, all these others whom God has saved. And you heard it, and you said, "Boy, that's me. That's the gospel." And you thought then you weren't like other men, but now you know you're the chief of sinners. What happened? Back then you thought the way to heaven was by your works, and now you know it's not. It's by Christ. What happened? You quickened. Back then you saw no beauty in Christ. Now He's the fairest of 10,000. What happened? Quickened. Back then you had no pleasure in the things of grace. Prayer was a chore. The Bible was a tiresome book. Worship was a duty. Sermons put you to sleep. Now those things are food for your soul. What happened? You've been quickened. Back then, our world was the world. All we cared about was the world. And now, you know what we think about this world? It's a dry, dusty wasteland that we'll be glad when we leave. What happened? John said, we pass from death into life, and we know it because we love the brethren. That's right. And someday, this is going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. You talk about quickening. He's going to quicken these mortal bodies. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We're not all going to die, because Christ may come, but we're all going to be changed. That mortal body's going to be quickened in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we'll be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall it put on incorruption, this mortal shall it put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. You hath he quickened who were dead. Dead by nature. Dead by experience. Dead with an old body. And now death is swallowed up in victory in Christ Jesus. All right. May God bless the word to our prophet to His glory.